Welcome back to another episode of My Neighbors Are Dead. I'm your host, Adam Peacock, and we're all familiar with the big names in horror. Freddy, Jason, David Kessler. But who we're not familiar with are the ones just outside the terror. The ones who didn't get to tell their tales. Now, folks, I think one of the toughest things you can do is really learn a hard truth about yourself. I'm sure we all have things about us that we are not proud of, that we don't like, or maybe we're even ashamed to admit. But I think one of the more freeing and inspiring things you can do is really uncovering that and discovering it and facing it head on. That's what this week's guest talked to me about. Welcome back, neighbors, to another episode of My Neighbors Are Dead. Just a quick intro at the top. Just want to let you know that Nate, Ryan, and I are working on some live shows. We're going to be teaming up with our friends at the Mega Podcast and with Campfire. We're going to be doing some live shows in the LA area. So check in with myneighborsaredead.com or Campfire to find out dates and times for those shows. We're very excited, so please come check that out. But right now, joining me today, I have good friend with me, actor, comedian, all around, just good guy, Joel Boyd. How are you, Joel?
Thank you for having me, Adam.
God, man.
It's a pleasure to be here, sir.
Thank you for doing this. I was thinking about you today on the way over, and you and I are pals, but you are one of my friends that I don't know when we met and how long we've been friends. Yeah. You're somebody I feel like, oh yeah, I went to elementary school with that guy. Like, I don't know. Like, we've been friends for a very long time, but yeah. I don't know when and where that started.
I'm sure what happens at Second City is you're pushed into a group of other funny, weird people you just become weird friends with.
Forever. It was Chicago. It must be Chicago at the Second City. You and I were both there.
Yeah, I think we did like a Torco thing together.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you and I were talking about when we first ran into each other in L.A.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, Joel. I went to school with that guy. I just thought it was quite funny. Well, what have you been up to, man? Talk to me about what's going on.
Man, I've been good. I've been doing a lot of stand-up, writing. I just am doing a monthly show at the Pack Theater called the Blackverse Comedy Show. You guys check it out. It's a sketch show.
For sure.
Second Thursdays, 9 p.m. I'm going to New York to work on a film, do some stand-up. So,
Great. Yeah,
man, just working.
Just since we talk about horror, are you, aside from comedy, are you into it at all? Horror movies or science fiction, anything at all?
I'm not a huge horror fan per se, but I have a weird thing because my birthday is in October, so it was always like whenever big like Halloween and like horror stuff was happening, I was always like, yeah, this is like, yeah, because where I'm from in like Wisconsin, there's a whole bunch of like dumb things you just have to do, like.
Yeah.
In Halloween, there's always like, there's the, we had the haunted cornfields. Have y'all ever done stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's a lot in Michigan, too.
Oh, yeah. 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 So, you know, you always got to take, you know, some girl out. You know, it's cold. You act like, oh, I'm cold, too. Oh, my God. We're scared. It's a scarecrow. Yeah. Oh, my God. Hold me. It's 3 degrees. I never like became like a huge fan of like, horror films like per se, like in like specifically, but I guess now just like the stuff Jordan Peele's doing. I saw Hereditary. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that movie?
I did, yeah. I like
that movie. Fucked me up,
that movie. Yeah, that's I have a crush on Toni Collette, but that part when she's cutting her own fucking head off,
dude,
was, yeah,
that
it was
that
cool.
That was one of those movies almost like Us, where, well, when Hereditary started, like the whole movie theater, I forgot where I saw this. I was probably very high. But I just remember that like 3 minutes into the movie, the whole movie theater was like, okay, we're going to have to talk to each other, right? Like, there's no way we can get through this. I don't know who you are, but we're going to hug. Like,
right.
Everybody was like, no.
Yeah, no, that one was pretty intense.
It was, yeah. What about you? You're big.
Oh,
big
man, yeah, I've loved him since I was a kid.
Yeah.
I've told people, like my grandfather worked for Ford's. I've told this story countless times, but mm-hmm. he used to bring home VHS tapes that he would get from guys at work with like three movies on there. And it was always like, you know, the Leprechaun, Candyman, and then like Lethal Weapon or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I found him when I was pretty young. So I've loved him. And the same thing, like, where in Wisconsin are you from?
I'm from Milwaukee.
You're from Milwaukee. Okay. Yeah. So I imagine then it's the same. Like we were just saying outside of Detroit, haunted houses, hay rides, haunted hay rides.
Yeah.
We had a lot of urban legend places around my neighborhood growing up. Like people who killed somebody in their house and then you go see the house or whatever.
Right.
Anything like that in Milwaukee?
There's like a ghost tour
thing in Milwaukee.
I didn't go on it. I don't know, man. I'm very like... I don't know. I think there are people who, you know, those people in that you meet who are just like very open about how they're a channel and they can actually see through to the other side, like paranormal.
Yeah.
You have the friends, like I had a roommate at one point who was just like, yeah, man, you got some spirits in here.
Yep.
And I was like, what? Like what? Like I believe those people, but I'm like, I don't want to know what it is.
I was
like,
fine before you told me.
Yeah. It's like the spirit of my house. All right. Yep. Well, I'm still taking a shower. Like right. I don't. So, yeah, but I met a woman who does, like, those ghost tours in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Like, some people, I really do believe that you know what you're talking about. And, like, you met a ghost or, you know, like, you've encountered whatever. And some people, like, describe who it is. Or, like, yeah, this woman, you know, Victoria has lost her son and she's still here and she's looking. Yeah. And then some people are full of shit.
Yeah.
Where you, like... Like this, I'm not gonna say. I don't know her name. Thank goodness, because I could ruin her career. But
no, she's a fraud fucker.
Yeah. It was like she was talking about these ghost tours, and I was like, "Man, this is just an extra $100 in your pocket." Like every one of these tours,
yeah.
Because you could tell. Like I forgot what she was talking about, but she was just like, "Yeah, you know, I go all down all these buildings." There's like a I don't know if you've ever been to Milwaukee, but there's a famous story of the Pfister Hotel. If you've ever gone there, like just talk to anybody about the Pfister, and it's PF, it's weird, it's like the way they spell it, but it's PFISTER, old ass hotel downtown Milwaukee, and it's like famous for they put up a lot of famous people when they're in town, like a lot of basketball teams when they're touring, like when they come to Milwaukee they'll stay at the Pfister, and you know, movies whenever like big people come through, comedians sometimes. But they'll stay at the Pfister, and it's like some people don't know, maybe people know now, but it's historically like, yeah, lots of suicide, like quote unquote suicides, ghosts, deaths.
Is that the one on Marquette's campus?
Yeah, it's like right up the street.
Okay, it's like an old giant brown building, right?
Like brown, it's kind of like off green, olive-y beige.
I think when we were with Second City and we were touring, I think we stayed there because I think
really.
The story was that the Beatles had stayed there when they were in Milwaukee, which we all thought was cool. And then also the rumor was that Dahmer killed somebody in that hotel.
I'm sure he did.
So I was super, I love the Beatles. And I thought it was cool that Dahmer killed somebody in the room. Not that he killed, you know, but just
right.
The thing.
Nah, like, but you know, it's like, conical. You
right,
know,
right.
Like,
just a thing that like, I wanted
it sucks
to see.
That's like, Milwaukee's famous for like three things. And that's beer, cheese, and Dahmer chopping motherfuckers' heads off. Like, and that's all we get. But
well, not
funny
the
enough,
Greek.
I lived... Like, I didn't know this, but I found this out years later. I lived about a 7-minute drive from where he was doing all that shit.
No shit.
Yeah.
Really?
Where I grew up. Yeah.
Was that ever prevalent when you were a kid? Like, so it like nobody
it
ever
wasn't.
Talked about it?
I didn't, we made jokes about it in high school, like once everything had sort of blew up. But like, it was never a conversation with my parents or anything like that.
Right.
But also he was like, you know, targeting like gay African American males in their like 20s or 30s or whatever it was. So I wasn't old enough to be persecuted.
Oh, he's like a local boogeyman. Like the thing the parents don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
It's weird. Well, and then in Chicago too, like, you know, in the neighborhoods that we were around, like he used to apparently hang out around there too.
Yeah. I have a very interesting story that I always feel bad because when I tell this story, I feel like I'm ruining the surprise. But because a friend of mine's story, but she actually had one of her boyfriends, I think her boyfriend's dad back in the day was like hitchhiking from Chicago to Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy picks him up and he needed a ride back to Milwaukee. Like he didn't know what to do. So the guy's like kind of creepy, but he, you know, gave him a ride or whatever. And he pulls over and he's like, hey, I'm going to go get some gas. And he's like, okay, cool. And then he's like, takes the keys with him. So he's just like locked in this car.
Okay.
And then he realized like, oh, this dude's crazy. I got to get the hell out of here. And then so he makes up some story about going to the bathroom. He's like, hey, bro, can we pull over? I really got to use the restroom. And he's like, yeah, yeah, sure, sure, sure. He's like, hey, man, can you leave the car, like the keys? Like, I think the guy went in to get some snacks or something. He's like, can you just leave me the keys? Like, I'm going to I listen to music. You know, I just like the music. And he's like, yeah, yeah, sure, sure, whatever. Goes inside. He takes the keys, like, storms off, vroom, vroom, vroom. And he ends up leaving the car on the side of the road and like just leaving it there, running back home to Milwaukee. He like ran like three exits. Literally, the news comes on a couple months later and he sees that the guy who gave him a ride was Jeffrey Dahmer.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yo. Like, what?
I don't know what's more impressive. I don't know what's more impressive, that he had the presence of mind to get the keys or that he ran three exits on the freeway.
Bro, I'm like, that is the most gangster story I've ever heard in my life. Like, and he didn't know. Like, how would you know?
No.
He just knew he had to get the fuck out of there.
I mean, just the presence of mind to ditch the car. Like,
he left the whole car. This.
Yeah.
He left the whole car.
Just could have kept it. Well, I mean.
Who knows? It may have been some shit in the car. Ooh, I don't know.
Probably.
Could have been.
Yeah. I'm still.
Have you seen any of the documentaries?
I've seen some of them.
The Hulu one.
Yeah, I've seen some of them. And I've said this before, but I don't know if this makes me a bad person or not, but I feel bad for his dad.
Yeah.
Because all the interviews were like, you know, your son's a monster, right? He's like, I know, but he's still my kid. Like, yeah, what do you want me to do? You know, like, that poor guy. I felt bad for him.
Yeah, where'd you go wrong with that parent?
A friend of mine just told me about my friend Dahmer, the graphic novel that they made into a movie.
Yeah.
I have not read that, but I need to get a copy of that.
Yeah, that's... That was a docu-series, right? Or it was a movie, too?
They made a movie out of it. Yeah.
Oh, that's what it was.
I think it was on... Maybe it's an Amazon flick or something like that. Yeah, they made one out of that.
Goodness.
I love Milwaukee. And in fact, it's Friday, April 12th. So all I have in my mind right now is playoff basketball.
Oh, yeah.
This whole
Magic
Johnson thing. And the Star Wars trailer that came out today. Those are the only three things I have going on. Yeah,
and it came out today?
Yeah, it came out today,
oh,
yeah.
Damn.
It looks great. So those are the three things going on in my mind.
Yeah.
So Milwaukee and the Pistons are in the first round.
Oh, yeah. We're doing pretty good this year.
I think
man.
You guys are going to... We got to go
the distance, man.
Yeah.
It's been a while for us.
Yeah, it's been a minute. I like the Greek Freak.
Yeah.
I like him.
He's killing him.
So you'd mentioned the stuff Jordan Peele's doing, and that's the film we're going to do. We're going to talk to a character from Us today. What does it mean? And we had kind of talked about it a little bit before, and it's something that we've never really talked about, to see like sort of more inclusion now with these horror films. What does that mean for you, or like as a fan of horror, does that draw you to it more, or what does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny because, you know, diversity and inclusion is such a like almost buzzwordy thing now, mm-hmm. but it's like, I think people just, the thing that made it so interesting and like an event that I'll never forget, like even if, however you felt about the movie Us, like I've heard mixed reviews from a lot of friends and things,
mm-hmm.
but you will never forget when you saw that movie and where you were and like who was in the crowd with you. Like, who you experienced that with. So for me, it was like, after Get Out came out, everybody knew that this was going to be an event now. It's like a worldwide thing. So I saw Us for the first time at the Crenshaw Mall in Baldwin Hills. It's a different experience also to see a Jordan Peele movie with a black ass audience. It's amazing.
For sure.
So like I knew I had to do that, and it's just like it's a whole new style and whole new experience, and I think it's just like what's happening, and I think is gonna happen more, is like people are starting to realize that there's so many more stories that can be told that we haven't tapped into because you haven't given certain people a chance,
mm-hmm.
or money or the time or invested in them, right? So it's like the few people who do get through, like a Jordan Peele or like a, you know, Ryan Coogler or some of these people, you know, Lena Waithe, sort of the people who are like making opportunities for people of color and women and all these people. It's like, these people have always been here. We've always had stories to tell.
Yeah.
So like now that there's so many remakes and it's like, bro, why are y'all remaking all this shit? Why are y'all remaking Ghostbusters again?
Right.
Why?
Right.
Like, And they are. I forgot who is doing it. I think it's his son.
Yeah, they're making a third one. Like a
yeah, is it a third? Is
I think
it
it's a
sequel?
Third one to the. Yeah, it's a sequel to the original two or whatever.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, yeah. It's like whatever. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, the things have their fan bases, and I get it for, you know, the culture or the cash grab or whatever. But it's like there's so many more people, like, you know, Crazy Rich Asians is like a huge event.
Yeah.
Like, so there's so many more stories that aren't being tapped into because people think they aren't going to grab attention or money.
Right.
And it's like we've proven in the last few years several big time stories and big time, you know, conversations are happening because people had a chance, and like mm-hmm. people just are able to like write the characters they see in their own lives. So it's like, yeah, it was just cool. It was just like, and I think for a long time, it's like, you know, I've had this experience with a lot of my white friends where it's like, I know y'all's movies. Mm-hmm. Like I know y'all's references cause I have to, but it's like, if I start bringing up like early 2000s like black films or like shit like TV shows where I'm just like, oh man, you remember this scene in Living Single where blah blah blah, and they're like, what show is that? I'm like, it was Friends, but y'all took it and made it Friends. Let's not act like y'all didn't do that, because y'all did that.
It's absolutely true.
So but yeah, it's like I think the tides are changing where it's okay to put people on game, just be like, hey man, I know y'all's movies, it's time y'all learn ours. And you know,
yeah. That's the second time I think this week that I've heard a Living Single reference, and also somebody brought up the movie Set It Off yesterday. I was like, I haven't talked about Set It Off in a very long time. I love that fucking movie.
Classic.
That movie's great. That's really interesting and cool that, like, you're right. You do know the references. So let's kind of, you know,
yeah, like, open that conversation. Like, you know. You know. Sometimes it's like, it's also fascinating too, what's happening with, like, I've just started to notice this whole, maybe it's just LA, but it's like this whole advertising campaign of like this melting pot. There's all these like interracial couples and right. little curly haired kids. And you're like, oh, okay. It's almost like companies are capitalizing on opening the conversation of, you know, people just experiencing different parts of walks of life and like opening that channel up. So, you know, I'm definitely a person who I like having those conversations.
Yeah.
Like I think people, it's worth it. Like I've had friends, female friends of mine, who will put me in my place. Like, and that's cool. Like mm-hmm. I'll be like, bro, if I say some dumb shit,
yeah,
tell me I said some dumb shit.
For like, sure. Well, I mean, you know, I know it's silly and I know it's cliche and corny, but how else are you gonna learn?
Right.
Not even just about yourself, but like other people, you know?
Right.
And I think you said it perfectly. I just, because I love this stuff so much, horror in particular, but mm-hmm. like sci-fi and everything nerdy, with guys like Coogler and Peele, the guys that you brought up, it's a great example of, and at least for me, it's not just for us. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, you know, it's for everybody. Like,
yeah
there's story. Like, even when Gabe, who I think is my favorite character.
Yeah.
That dude. I was like, if I'm ever going to be a dad, that's who I'm going to be. Like, yeah. I'm going to be that guy. He's just so funny. That fucking bit when he comes back, he's like, now call the cops. That was very funny.
The boat scene. You
know. Oh, so good. When
he's doing the
donuts on the lake. Yeah. But bringing in Peele to do Twilight Zone, like mm-hmm. yeah, let's expand it, right? It's not just for one group of people, it's for everybody, because I love it. I want everybody to experience the horror movies and be scared and do nerdy shit, you
right.
know?
And what's cool, I think too, is that is so him. Like,
yeah,
there's a whole new surgence of, like, I think artists who are able to like just be themselves, like, especially mm-hmm. black artists, because it's like they're was a time, I feel like, for a long time where being black meant this. And yeah. like now that there's all these like just weird people that are able to like really be themselves in comedy and film and TV, where like Jordan Peele is a weird motherfucker. Like
He's
I went to his talk back at UCB.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you
I didn't.
I think he only did one. So maybe he only did the one. But it was like his, you know, when you go to somebody's event or like a concert or like, mm-hmm. you know, you go see a comedian or a musician, and you just look around at the audience and you see who their draw is.
Yeah.
Like you just see who their fans are. And I'm looking around and I was like, these are like the next Jordan Peele's. Like these are, everybody in there was just like young, like offbeat kind of weirdo people of color, and like even like white kids too, who were just like into horror and like into comedy, but also did, you know, sketch and all this stuff. So it's like those are all parts of Jordan Peele. Like,
yeah.
We're now able to see like into his consciousness. So it's like, it's just cool because, you know, I feel like a while ago it was like a lot of white people are able to be whatever they want to be. Mm-hmm. But it was like, now is a time where like Jordan's like, oh no, like I'm into this horror movie. And like, I'm going to have, you know, we're going to talk about this in my movie. And it's just like, yeah, it's just dope. It's just like really dope.
It being out in LA now, I don't know him. I don't know if you know Jordan Peele at all, but I know, and we know people who do know him from Chicago and from the days. And like anybody I've talked to that knows him and what he's doing right now, nobody's ever surprised. It's exactly what he said. Like, oh yeah, that's just him. That's always been him. He's just been a dork as long as we've known him. You know, like I love it. I think it's so great.
He's great, man.
If you don't mind, talk to me. So a while back, you kind of took a break from things in LA doing comedy, which for me, I was bummed because I love you and you were doing so many cool things. What inspired that? Was that sort of what you talked about before? Like kind of things where like did you feel like you were being pigeonholed into something? And maybe that's a dumb way to put it, but, or what was that like for you?
No, it really was. I was just, I think what happens a lot of the time in doing what we do in comedy and this industry and just living here. I lived in LA for about a year and some change when I took that break, but I'd been doing comedy hard since I was like 15.
Yeah.
Like 10 years, no breaks. Like I tried to take breaks before and I got like even advice from like executives and people at Second City who were like, hey, if you take a break, people kind of forget about you and it's not really smart. You're doing great. Keep going. So I just didn't take a break literally for like 10 years. And I started to realize just with like the way the industry is moving and just especially LA culture, it's like it feels to me like a big sea, and there's so many different ways to swim. There's so many different ways to go that people want to pull you and they're like, hey, you should be doing this. You should be making a podcast. You should also be doing this show. You should also be writing a pilot.
Right.
You should also be doing stand up. You should also be blah, blah, blah. So you can, it doesn't end. That shit doesn't end. So I think I was subscribing to like trying to catch up to my peers and like trying to be looking like I was always doing something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just like I wasn't healthy. I wasn't taking care of my body, like my mind. I was just like not checking in with myself. And I felt like I was just depleting myself. Like it was kind of, I'm sure like, I don't know if you've ever felt like that, but you just like, comedy, you especially stand up, like you have to dig into like the deepest parts of yourself and give them to people. Like you're so vulnerable constantly. Yeah. And acting and all this stuff, it's very vulnerable, draining thing to do. So I think I was just like, man, I haven't taken a break. I just need to like breathe and just be with my family for like a month. So yeah, man.
Yeah, I think, you know, having just played with doing a little bit of stand up, but you're right. It's very personal. And then when you think you have something that is great and then you go up and it eats shit, you're like, oh God, am I a bad person? Yeah. like, you know, anything else, you know? But yeah, no, I get that. And I'm glad you did it, man. And I'm glad you're back.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I needed that.
Well, good, man. Well, we talked about a lot of cool stuff, Joel. Thank you very much for doing that. Thanks for coming by. It's been a pleasure talking to you, but I have to admit, someone's coming in next that we're going to talk to that I'm very excited. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and talk to Tony. Speaking of us, we're going to talk to Tony Skeptical Tethered. We'll be right back.
Hey neighbors, producer Nate Dufort here. This week's episode is brought to you by horror streaming service Shudder. Now, you may know that Shudder has a huge and regularly updated collection of genre films, but did you know that they also produce original podcast series? Lately, I've been listening to two of my favorites, Video Palace and She Kills. Now, you may have heard Adam and I talk about when we worked at video stores when we were younger, but I can tell you the story of Video Palace was nothing like our experience. I won't ruin it here, but this series is chock full of surprises. And then She Kills, hosted by horror icon Adrienne Barbeau, explores horror through a female lens with conversations from women in front of and behind the camera. You can find both of these shows on Shudder or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, for a free 30-day trial of everything Shudder has to offer, go to Shudder.com and use promo code NEIGHBORS at checkout. Again, get one trial month of Shudder free by going to Shudder.com and using promo code NEIGHBORS. And now, back to the show.
Well, thank you for doing this. I appreciate it greatly.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you can make the trip. Everything good? You got anything you need? You good?
I'm good.
All right. Did you find the place okay?
Yeah. It's a lot. It's real bright up here.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's pretty sunny.
Yeah, it's Los Angeles is a lot better than where I was living.
Well, we're going to get to that. I want to know all about that. But let me introduce you. You're Tony.
My name's Tony.
And you are a skeptical tethered.
Yeah. It's a lot of questions I have.
Yeah, you were telling me about that before you were...
I'm just confused as y'all.
Yeah.
I listen.
Yeah.
I saw the work. Uh-huh. I didn't know that they were putting that together. Shout out to Mr. Peel. But I have just as many questions as y'all.
There's a lot going on. So... talk to me about what it's like to be a tethered before we get into why you're skeptical.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's bad.
There's no weed down there.
Okay.
And we got to eat rabbits uncooked.
That's
can I guess? There's no ranch. There's no ranch down there.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
There's no ketchup. Yeah. It's
did you ever grow to like it? I mean, because I know some people have maybe, you know, they've had foods they didn't like, but they've grown to like it.
No.
You didn't grow to like it?
I didn't like it at all.
Okay.
If you even if rabbit was my favorite food, if you ate your favorite food every day, three times a day.
You're right. You'd get sick of it.
Sometimes it'd be nice because, you know, you get to eat different parts of the rabbit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, you left me your ass. I'll take the leftover rabbit ass.
Or maybe even if they had like a side dish for it, you can mix in with it. But that
yeah, but it's all
like
rabbit.
Right. Yeah.
It's like you sprinkle on some, you know, fur. That's our salt. Is rabbit just fur? You know, it's like a little.
That's not fair at all.
But yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah.
So, lights out, you know, pretty much constantly. There was no I didn't know when it was day or night. It was very weird.
Right.
We didn't say good morning down there. Good afternoon. We didn't know what was going on.
Right. So you could just be getting up and it could be 3 in the afternoon or it could be 9 in the morning. You have no idea what time it is.
Yeah.
What do you do for fun down there? I mean, because it doesn't seem like there's a lot to do.
Yeah. We shoot a lot of dice.
Yeah.
There's a lot of craps going on. And we gamble. You know what I mean? We bet on each other rabbits.
Oh, that's all rabbits.
It's all rabbits. That's the only collateral we have.
It's
our sun, moon, and stars.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, that's pretty much all. That's all we had down there. And
being up here has got to be a treat. I mean,
this is insane.
Yeah,
I mean, y'all have Disney World
and land. There's one in Florida
and land.
It's crazy.
This is
it's crazy. If you like gambling, we have casinos up here. You should check them out because we got real money, and you can play craps. You can play blackjack. You can play slots. It's great. Super fun.
There.
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
you know what? And I gotta say.
Yeah.
The women up here are a lot better. The ones down there, they're not a lot of teeth. I'm a big fan of teeth.
Yeah.
Y'all have healthy teeth. Yeah. And I like that.
Yeah.
Well,
there's dentists up here. I don't know what it's like down there, but
no.
Yeah. No dentists? Okay.
No, we don't. We floss with rabbit tendons.
Jesus, you guys are really making the most out of these animals.
It's all we have. What are we supposed to do?
No, I'm with you. Yeah.
That's all. It's like, what do you.
It's tough.
That's your world.
Yeah. You should date while you're up here.
Ooh.
We have these cell phones have apps on them and stuff. You can find somebody.
Oh, yes. The swipes.
Yeah. The swipes. Yeah.
I'm thinking about swiping.
You should swipe. It's a fun thing to do from what I
feel like I might be a bit of a downer, though. Because coming from the tethered world, I feel like if I dated, you know, people in LA are very happy people.
For the most part,
I'll be like, oh, but.
I'm gonna tell you right now, Tony. You seem like a very jovial guy. I mean, you're pretty upbeat for what you've gone through.
I am happy to be above ground.
I think that's gonna take you a long way with somebody on a date.
And it is maybe it'll be romantic because I like to hold hands.
There you go. Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. So, were you part of the? I don't even know what to call it.
The Hands Across America.
Yeah. Is that like a coup, like a takeover kind of thing?
Was. I was confused. I just went along because everybody was going. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you never have that thing where like everybody's skipping class, so you're like, okay, I'm not going to be in class.
Right. Right.
I'm gonna go with you all. With y'all. So that's really all it was. I was just like, where are we going? Who is this girl?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Oh, wait. All right. So y'all got to put on these outfits and go up there. I didn't even get the right size. They didn't take sizes.
Oh, no. Was it too big or too small?
So I had a huge red suit.
Oh, no.
I'm a small man. They gave me a 3X.
They gave you a 3X?
A 3X. That's all they had left.
Wow.
That's all they had left. So, I tried to stuff it. I stuffed my suit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was nice. They gave me a pair of Jordans.
Oh, you got a pair of Jordans.
Yeah, so they just get to make up for the 3X.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, but then I got blood on it, so it was
Well, talk to. Did you kill anybody when you were up here?
Yeah, I had to kill my doppelganger.
You did?
I had to kill my real self.
How was that? Because that seems like that'd be hard. Would you find it hard? Was it easy?
It was difficult. He's squirrely. He's smart.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're pretty built, so like, you know.
Well, you thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. But I caught him off guard. You know, he works at CVS. Everybody in there did not have a good time. It was not worth the rewards points. Had to do it. It was part of the plan. You know what I mean? It's what we were doing.
I really admire you, you stick to itiveness, really just going for it.
Hey, when you get handed a pair of scissors and they said, do whatever you want to yourself. And I said, whatever I want.
Yeah.
And it ain't actually me.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
it was good. I almost felt sexual. I was like,
sure.
You know, because it was like,
right.
If you know, I've always been into rough stuff and to give myself a spanking before.
Well,
before I died.
So you mentioned that the ladies up here are you prefer them to the ladies down in the tether world. Were you dating a lot in the tether world, or?
Yeah, you kind of go into a cyclical nature.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because
you kind of what it really is there's only about three rooms that you get to go into.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's almost like dating in the improv community, where it's like, okay,
I've
moved through this room before. I've been through this entire group. Do I come back? Do I update your friend now? What is going on?
Yeah. So you've heard of the improv community.
Yes, that's as close as I can compare it to. Improv kids and theater people dating each other. It's incestual. You will always come back.
Yeah.
So yeah, it wasn't a lot of different rooms. It was just like, oh, all right. Stacy, we're done.
Yeah.
How's Marcy doing?
Yeah.
She free? She free Friday? Okay.
You, Adelaide's doppelganger,
mm-hmm.
You had mentioned that you guys could maybe had some sort of history, romantic history.
It was real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would consider her an ex.
Okay.
I don't know if she would put me in that category.
Yeah.
I was in love.
Sure.
I don't know if she reciprocated or felt it, but I was... Yeah.
Anytime when you were dating, this was before she dated Gabe.
Before Gabe. Right.
Right.
And I get it.
Right.
He's a big guy.
He's huge.
He looks like he could whoop some ass, but he didn't.
No, he's got a great beard, though.
Great beard.
Yeah.
Great glasses.
Yeah, great.
Admire his. He probably got Warby Parker. But yeah, I get it. The man invests in boats. You know, all I got is pockets full of lint and rabbit feet. So.
Well, I mean, you know, your doppelganger works at CVS. That's not a bad gig.
It's yeah.
You know,
no, I get free sleeping pills.
And anytime when you and Adelaide's doppelganger were dating, any talk of, hey, I'm going to take over. I'm going to really organize this.
You know, it was very secretive.
Okay.
Because we both knew she was going to be something. It was like, you ever dated somebody who you knew was kind of going to be famous?
Oh, God, yeah.
And you was like, oh, you ain't going to remember this at me at all. And,
absolutely.
And I'm going to have this story forever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I dated Rihanna.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, no, you didn't. And it's like, I did. I swear to God. I did. I swear to God.
Yep.
We hugged. We had a side hug.
Yep.
What she smell like? Don't worry about it. Okay. I don't remember that. But nobody's going to believe me. Nobody believes me. Nobody believes I had a side hug with Adelaide.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And her dreads smell like cocoa butter. It was amazing.
Well, she seems very lovely. She's also, I really admire her, again, I admire your stick-to-itiveness, but her just, her drive and motivation is
out of this world. I didn't know what she was going to do, too. It was like, I knew she was going to be famous. I didn't know she's.
Did you think murder?
I didn't think it would be murder.
No.
I did not. That wasn't where my first thought was. No. I thought maybe an album.
Oh, yeah,
maybe,
yeah.
Maybe, you know, have her own clothing line or something. But murder was a surprise.
Usually that's.
I was impressed.
Yeah, usually that's the furthest thing from somebody's mind when you think someone's going to be famous. Well, not for murder.
Right.
Yeah.
But no judgment.
No, hey.
However you get your fans.
Look.
If you can get a fan, hey, I can't blame you. If you're going to get some fans murdering some people.
I think you're right.
Now you're famous.
I'm not.
So
here
what am I gonna say?
Yeah, I'm not here to be in anybody's way. I'm just here to help out in any way I can.
Exactly.
You know. So after you murder yourself, what do you do? I mean, like, were you kind of like, I think I'm done murdering people. Did you murder anybody else? What was that like after?
Well,
you get done?
It was very anticlimactic.
Yeah.
You know, it was like you killed yourself and then you just stand over yourself. And then you're like, damn, that was the one chance I had at really getting to know me. Like, I could have really figured a lot of things about myself. Right. And, like, I could have interviewed myself. Like, right. Why did not? I just, we had to kill him.
Right.
That was the assignment. Go kill yourself.
Yeah.
So as soon as I saw myself, I had to kill myself.
Right.
So I didn't have 5 minutes to be like, hey, man, in the third grade, when Stacy said no to us on the playground, how did you feel about that? Like, we could have dove into so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
And really understood what was happening in this space and time continuum.
But, so does this lead to your skepticism now about what's going on? Because.
Yeah, it's Adelaide. Yeah. She was moving too fast.
Yeah.
We should have had like Scientology, a 5-minute personality test right before we killed him. Like,
yeah.
Just so then I could know more about me.
For
now
sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Nah, it's just me.
I think that's the hardest thing somebody can do is really try to figure out who you are, finding out who you are as a person. And
right.
Now if you kill yourself.
You right there. But right. If it was another Adam Peacock sitting, wouldn't you have some questions?
I absolutely would. And not only can you learn something from him, but he can learn something from you, Tony. Maybe you've got some things that he doesn't know about himself.
Exactly. You work at CVS.
Right.
Regular Tony. I am tethered Tony. I know more shit than you.
Yeah.
About rabbits. We need to.
You've got that
other.
Down, yeah. So, down what are your thoughts on this Hand Across America thing? Because it seems to be worldwide. I don't know.
You know, I think it was a nice idea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know it because the real one. I don't know if you know about this, and maybe you do, but the real one in 1986.
Yeah,
it only lasted 15 minutes.
Yeah,
in the real one, and there was gaps. It was gaps in it.
Yeah.
And it only lasts 15 minutes. So with us, it was the same thing.
Yeah.
The movie, if y'all saw the tapes, you go to the theaters, it looks like we got the whole planet. It looks like we grabbing hands and everything. But it was the same thing. It was 15 minutes.
And that was it.
Yeah. They extended it because, you know, Jordan Peele makes suspended time and, you know, makes sense in the screenplay.
Right, right.
But it was literally 15 minutes. We had lots of gaps. Same thing. So I don't really understand what was supposed to happen after that. I thought it was supposed to be like a barbecue. I thought he was going to turn up. I thought he was going to start passing blunts and celebrating. Right. But no, we just stood there.
It seems like a tall order because now you're there. Mm-hmm. And I imagine if it were me, you'd be kind of looking around like you said, like now what? Now
yeah,
what do
was,
we do?
Yeah,
How long do you want us to stand here for?
And we took over. I get it though. You know, fuck the rich. I killed Rich Tony.
Yeah.
He was the one who had more privilege than me, and I get it.
Yeah.
But then it was like, okay, now we up here. Do we just eat their ice cream? Like, what? Now, do we got to take care of their kids now? Like, what do we do up here?
Yeah. Well, I don't want you to, don't put that burden on yourself, man. That's on regular Tony. I want you to enjoy all the fine things you can find up here in, you know, in this world.
Having a good time,
you know, casinos, there's, you know,
casinos,
Disneyland and World.
There's the marijuana in this city.
Oh, buddy.
Is another level.
If you like marijuana, you are in the right place.
Goodness. They have some Walmarts now.
Yeah.
There's like what is this place? I went the other day. I walked into this big building. They literally, they all have, it's like an Apple store for weed.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They, yeah.
It's only a world that we could only dream of when we were younger.
It's insane. But yeah, so I'm having a good time. I'm going to the beach. I'm meeting some other tetherds, and we're going to
throw
around
you,
some volleyballs. And
yeah, do you talk to the other tetherds, or do you guys hang out? Or you know?
We have a group chat.
Okay.
We have a big group chat.
Yeah.
Adelaide, she never responds anymore. I always tag her.
Yeah.
Act like, you know, hey, it's me. It's Tony. Remember Tether Tony? Right. And she always pretends she's busy. But yeah, we keep up. We got a group chat. And, you know, some people are throwing, I think there's a bonfire happening tonight. I think we're going to find some leftover humans and throw them in there and burn it up, turn it up.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, we do things like that.
You know, just because I think I often miss home, you know, where I grew up. And then, you know, it's usually more... I build it up more than what it actually is. Do you ever miss the tethered world? Do you ever miss maybe Rabbit at all, or, you know, those three rooms?
A little tiny bit.
Yeah.
It's like now when I go ask at a restaurant for Rabbit,
yeah,
they just don't understand.
Sure.
You know, it's like, but that's where I'm from. You're not respecting my culture. Right. You don't serve Rabbit. What are you actually trying to say to me right now? Because that's very rude. Where I come from, that's a delicacy. So yeah, you know, I miss the culture. Every night, you know, we would just share a big pile of rabbits and, you know, and just talk about what it'd be like to live with sunlight. But yeah, other than that, no, I don't miss most aspects of it. I will say up here, you know, there's a lot more, there's a bigger level of partying.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Happening for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, I appreciate it every day.
Tethered Tony, I can't tell you how it's been so much fun talking to you. I hope
it's
you.
Been a great time.
You know, I don't want to keep you too much longer because I want you to get out there and I want you to experience things.
Yeah, dice game in 20 minutes.
If there's any tetherds listening right now, any advice you'd give? Because you seem like you've kind of got a well rounded perspective about this whole, you know, murdering yourself thing. You know, your skepticism is completely warranted. Any advice you'd give to tethered if they're listening? Maybe don't kill yourself or anybody else.
You know, if I would say, if you're a tethered out there listening right now, and if you've already killed yourself, sorry. If you haven't killed yourself, take that 5 minutes right before you're off him. Just take that 5 minutes. Make sure you get in there. Ask the deep questions. Why are you sad about your dad leaving? What happened in when you tried to sell drugs in ninth grade? What, you know, why'd you shit yourself on the slide in preschool? You just want to make sure you get in there and figure out who you are and then kill yourself.
Right. Yeah.
As soon as you figure it out, don't let them get away. Then you off him.
Right.
Yeah.
So definitely kill them.
But still kill them.
I like that. Ask the tough questions.
That's the assignment.
Well, I mean, I think we all want to know a little bit more about ourselves. Tethered Tony, again, an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Mr. Peacock.
Get out there and have some fun, man. You're a delight. Thanks for listening to My Neighbors Are Dead. I'm your host, Adam Peacock. The show was produced by myself and Nate Dufort, with editing done by Nate Dufort. Original music was composed by Jesse Case, with additional music by Dane Halverson. Our artwork was done by Mark Nishan. Tony the Skeptical Tethered was played by Joel Boyd. You can catch Joel all around Los Angeles and throughout the country doing stand-up. For dates and times and any other information you'd like to know about Joel, follow him on Instagram at JoelBoydTV. If you'd like to support My Neighbors Are Dead while getting unique swag and a look behind the scenes of how we make the show, go to patreon.com/myneighborsaredead. No amount is too small and every bit helps. If you have yet to rate and review the show on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, please take a second to do so now. It helps us grow and it helps new neighbors find the show. And you can find us on Facebook and at Instagram at My Neighbors Are Dead and on Twitter at My Dead Neighbors. Stop by, give us a follow, and share your favorite episodes. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Did you know that you're a big fan of Baywatch? Well, you will be after you hear our show, Baywatch Watch! I'm Ryan, Ray-Ban's Count's House.
I'm Zach, Zerf's Up,
Olson.
I'm Heather Heatwave Higginbotham.
New episodes every Friday on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by Campfire Media.
Get wet.
You're going to get soaked.
Campfire.
I'm Joel Spence.
And I'm Deborah Tarika.
We are co-hosts of This Particular Album Is Very, Very Important to Me.
This is the podcast where we ask people we love to pick an album that is very, very important to them. And here they share their memories.
Great and not so great.
And emotional connections.
Great and not so great.
And we all get to listen to it through their ears.
All the guests in season three, introduce yourselves, please.
Hello, my name is Thomas Lennon.
Hello, this is June Diane Raphael.
Hey, this is Eugene Cordero.
Hey, this is Keiko Agena.
Hey, this is Paul F. Tompkins.
Hello, my name is Tawny Newsom.
Hello. Hello, this is Colin Hanks.
Hi, this is Kirsten Bangstus.
Hey, this is Matt Besser.
What albums did they pick? Well, find out by subscribing to This Particular Album Is Very, Very Important to Me on Campfire Media or wherever you get your podcasts.
Campfire.